You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So I'm on Twitter, and I want to pass on three quick things because they're all phenomenal. From the England pod, All England All Time, a show covering England. Dear Kansas City, thank you and farewell. None of us expected to love KC and its people as much as this. After only 48 hours here, your friendliness and your hospitality, the food and drink at Joe's, the Peanut, McLean's, Tacos de Gallos, Varsity Bar, and the iconic Johnny's on 7th Street. Your enthusiasm for showing off your city has left a huge mark on us. Go Chiefs, go Royals. We hope to return one day. It's time for Dallas, they write. Time for England, finally, getting started at the World Cup. And time to compare Texas barbecue to Kansas City barbecue. And there is a photo of them on their flight. They are just beaming. And for any of you listening that before this week or last month never paid much attention to soccer, it's really not about the actual physical game that's going on at Arrowhead.
That's right.
It's about what I just read to you and what this town and Lawrence and Riverside,
oh yeah,
all of us are doing for our international visitors. It gives me chills.
They just panned to a bunch of England fans at the game and they're all wearing cowboy hats.
You know, we can get lost in the weeds of the technical stuff when it comes to the game of soccer and offsides, onsides.
Yep, not my deal.
All the, you know, the flopping, the magic spray that you, okay. But the World Cup, what it really is a cultural event that does involve the vast majority of the people on this planet.
And if you have not found Freddie.
Freddie.
On Twitter and Facebook, this guy named Freddie, you guys, from Germany, had never been to the United States. He came here for the World Cup, and he quickly started going viral at his delight. I don't even know his wonder at some of the things that we take for granted in America every single day, like Chick-fil-A. Some of his posts, he is like a child at Disney World. Posting Quick Trip. I can't believe this is what your gas stations look like.
Wendy's, the beautiful landscapes across the South.
Yeah, he just started saying, I'm now in this place called Tennessee.
Yeah.
Now I'm in this place called Alabama. And he just started showcasing America. And then today someone wrote, and I quote, I still haven't fully processed that this random German dude came to the United States as a tourist for the World Cup. Was simply so genuinely excited about the country that he live tweeted himself into absolute mega virality. And now every organization in America is giving him free stuff. Never doubt the power of social media. And I would also add to that kindness. And he is pointing to the latest Freddie tweet. I see a lot of orange, and then when you look at it, you're like, oh my God, is he at NASA? Freddie writes, well, this is the coolest thing ever. We're at NASA getting a tour from astronaut Anne McLean. This is us entering the Orion capsule that flew around the moon in April. And so what started with, oh my gosh, look at Wendy's. This is the greatest thing I've ever had. Waffle House. Now NASA is reaching out to Freddie. You want to come take a tour with an astronaut from Orion? Like yes.
He's like a modern day, I think it's pronounced Tocqueville. He was a French diplomat like 200 years ago who came to this new America to tour it and was astounded and amazed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like he was talking to the astronauts up on the International Space Station.
Freddie went from like 200 followers. Do you want to guess how many followers he has, Sam? Just guess.
2 million?
He's not quite there yet.
Okay.
He has 661,000 followers. And if you find him on Twitter anyway, he's Freddie LA7. And his little moniker there is the German flag. Freddie LA7. And all you have to do is find him and just scroll back for, you know, like one of the tweets is Ferris Bueller. You would not believe the day I've had. And then it says, Freddie, hold my beer.
I loved when they passed into, because he's traveling with some buddies, I believe.
Yeah.
When they passed into Louisiana, you know, you've got the welcome to sign. Somebody came along with a homemade sign and
hung. Welcome, Freddy.
Welcome, Freddy.
Now, the great point from the text line, and I do love this. Freddie is doing it right, driving through everyday America.
Yep.
Often we talk about going to other countries and visiting different parts of the world, and we want to go to the massive tourist hotspots. You could do the same thing in the United States. You could hit up New York. You could hit up the massive epicenters where they have all the things that you hear, the Chicago Bean. Or you could just take in the culture and
just hop in your car.
The American lifestyle.
A couple more. I've got to read these because it's so beautiful.
Those are great, too.
Freddie is living a life that it could take the average American 40 years and unprecedented access to have within the space of a month. I can't even be jealous. It's so beautiful. And then I'll end with this one. At this rate, Freddie's going to be addressing a joint session of Congress by next Wednesday, followed by a full tour of Area 51. The dude is on an all-time heater.
He's getting the nuclear code soon.
Freddie, we love you. And then if you missed this today, Dan and I will both post this on our socials. There is a viral video showing all of us how truly amazing our Coast Guard can perform under pressure.
Oh, okay? Is this the runaway boat?
Oh my gosh, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Picture the Dukes of Hazzard in your mind on water. A United States Coast Guard service member vaulted onto a speeding unmanned vessel and then brought it to a halt near Annapolis after its operator was thrown overboard. The whole thing is caught on tape.
Yeah, I think the boat was like a Boston Whaler.
It's a big old fast speedboat thing, and the boater was ejected after, quote, trying to execute a high-speed turn. So what happens when the driver of a boat is ejected? The boat keeps going, you guys.
It had like two or three or four motors on the back, and it is just hauling butt.
It is hauling, and the Coast Guard, here's what they do. It's kind of like a pit maneuver, but they don't make contact with the boat. The Coast Guard comes flying in on the Coast Guard vessel. Keep in mind, this is a runaway boat. You guys, it is literally a runaway speeding boat.
And there's so many obstacles in the water that it doesn't hit them.
Yes. The Coast Guard vessel pulls up sort of like right next to it, which is very hard to do because, again, it's a runaway vessel going in circles. And the guy on the front waits, and then jumps in midair from the Coast Guard vessel, dives like MacGyver onto the runaway boat, and then brings it to a halt. No one is injured. Nothing was struck. It's incredible video.
It's pretty cool.
Incredible video. We are now calling him Bo and Luke Duke. Bo and Luke Duke.
Pretty badass.
913-586-7798. We are still under a severe thunderstorm watch. Just had a ton of rain blow through here. We'll be back with much more on Dana and Parks.
We are keeping an eye on weather this afternoon as torrential downpours just moved through Mission. I don't know why I feel the need to remind people of this, but it is state law. If your windshield wipers are on, your headlights also must be on. As I looked out onto Shawnee Mission Parkway in the middle of the rain, I saw a bunch of shadows of vehicles going by.
Yeah, it got dark.
With no headlights.
Harrisonville is getting pounded right
they
now.
They are.
Eastland, Garden City.
Harrisonville was upgraded to a thunderstorm warning.
Yeah.
Severe thunderstorm warning.
And these are quick. And I see that's going on about another 25 minutes until 4:45, just to be weather aware today, because this is not over yet.
No.
How many of you fight in your own homes over the thermostat? And if the answer is not 100%, you're probably lying. Listen to this story. The air conditioning temperature that will save you hundreds of dollars this summer. And I'm already saying no.
Ooh, can I guess?
Yes, please, because I laughed out loud when I saw the number.
So I've mentioned it before, what we keep our house at, and you and Scott both, your jaws hit the floor.
Ridiculous.
I do believe the most efficient setting is 78 degrees.
I believe that at age 52, any woman listening will have my back on this if you are postmenopausal, if you set the temperature at that number in my house, you would see a hammer.
efficiency and sanity are two different things, is what you're saying.
Coming at you in a way that would probably land me in handcuffs.
We keep our house at 77 if it's really hot outside, and we walk inside and we don't feel that sense of cool relief. We'll kick it down to 76. But I found if it's on 75, it's like cold in there.
I need to ask what we're on before we get into this topic, because honestly, I don't know. I think it's 72, but I don't know. So listen to this. Now that it's summertime, finding the optimal thermostat setting is more important than you realize. If your goal is to maximize energy savings while still ensuring comfort, they say, the Department of Energy recommends 78 degrees Fahrenheit.
Woo!
When you are at home. Oh, just wait. While you're away at work, it advises turning up the AC 7 to 10 degrees.
Okay, well, that's
false. Just wait. To around 85 to 88 degrees. When you're catching some shut-eye, they say 82 degrees is ideal.
Okay, well, that I firmly disagree with. You turn it up to go to bed? We turn it down to go to bed.
What's our thermostat set on? I've got to know. I know that I'm not grumpy when I walk in. I don't know what the number is, but I know that it feels very good when I walk in. So here's my question. I was always told it takes more energy to fire that thing back up to where you want it.
Exactly.
Than it does, you know, to just leave it at a constant cooler temperature all day. I thought it was bad, and maybe this was 30 years ago or something, to be bouncing back and forth, that you just set it and forget it for the most energy savings. Am I wrong?
I do think that the advice that you just read from that story has been debunked, that it takes much more energy to try to cool it down from that 85, 88 degree temperature down to your 78, especially if it's really, really hot outside. If we're looking at 92, 95 degrees, or even up in the triple digits, unless you have the best insulation on the planet, you're also combating that, right? Just keep it at what you're comfortable at and leave it there.
Well, here's one of my questions. The thermostat temps you choose this summer can have a significant impact on your energy bills. Okay, we know that. The smaller the gap between the indoor temperature and the outdoor temperature, the less your system needs to run and the less energy it needs to consume. We all understand that.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer.
But when they say you might save money, like, this is like my dad used to say, turn off that light. Turn off that light. We shouldn't have that light on.
You're still using the bathroom. Why is the light still on?
Now, does turning off the bathroom light save you 14 cents a month? Like, I don't know. I used to always laugh. Like, I'm happy to turn the light off. I'm not so sure that's how that works. Is it really savings to turn it up and be uncomfortable to the point that you are starting to have homicidal thoughts?
There's also the other extreme.
Is it $500 you're going to save? Because I don't think so, Sam. I think what we're talking about is like $20.
Well, actually, with the surge pricing that Evergy has going on,
okay,
it's probably a lot of money, especially if you're talking about that 4 to 8 o'clock window at night. But there are extremes on the other side. From the text line, I am a 32-year-old female. My house stays at 62 degrees all year long.
You go, girl.
Also from the text line, I don't fight, I just obey my menopausal wife. I'm with Dana. 72 is my AC temperature. However, when it's over 90 or 100, I move it up to 75 or 76 to give the AC a break.
So I was wrong. I thought we had it at 72. Johnny just replied, it is 74, and I'm that light guy that wants you to turn the lights off. Phones are already ringing. 913-586-7798. Have you done a cost analysis of this? One of the things they're saying, change your air filters, swap out the old ones for the new ones every 30 to 90 days because the dirty filter restricts the airflow, makes your system work harder. Be mindful when you cook. Try not to use your oven or stovetop during the hottest parts of the day. Do your cooking early in the morning. okay, then there's this. Use a DIY ice bucket fan. Let me just tell you what is not happening for anyone my age or older. We're not going to use an ice bucket fan.
Why not?
Crank that sucker down. Because I'm not a cave woman.
I grew up in a house where we did not turn the AC on, no matter what the spring temperatures were. We did not turn the AC on until probably mid to late June.
That was my dad.
Put some shorts on. Turn the ceiling
fan on.
And
in the winter, what did they say? Put on a sweater.
That's right.
Put on a sweater.
You can adjust.
The hell I can. JJ and Shawnee, welcome on into Dana and Parks. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
So good.
So I've been in the heating and air business for about, almost 40 years now. So I might be able to shed some light on this.
Please.
just so setting back. Let's just put it this way: houses heat much faster than they cool. Cooling takes a lot more energy to remove the heat out of the house.
Okay.
So setting back your thermostat more than just a couple of degrees, you're wasting your time, because now you're asking your AC unit in the hottest part of the day, where it's going to have the highest amp draw and have to work the hardest, to try to drop the house back down, not only with temperature-wise, but now you're dropping humidity-wise as well.
That's what I thought, JJ. So is it better just to keep it at a solid temperature?
You know, that's what I do, and we just keep it at a constant where you like it. And truthfully, one of the better tricks, if you like to sleep a little colder at night, is let it cool down a little cooler than you normally would at nighttime when it runs nice and cheap.
Yeah.
And you sleep a little better in cool weather. And then it'll gradually go back up to your original set point. And any programmable thermostat, you can program that into it. And it's a good trick. But don't ask your AC to try to cool your house back down.
Yeah, to make up for it.
At 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not going to happen.
JJ, I absolutely agree. Can I also just say one other thing, because I'm old school?
Yeah.
All of the new thermostats are so connected, and you can connect it to your phone, and they're digital, and they're fancy. Can we not go back to the little circular thing that you just crank it down left or crank it up right? That was the one I understood. I never know with the new one what I'm supposed to push and what I'm supposed to do.
Okay. Very simply, you can turn a smart thermostat, or, you know, programmable thermostat back into that.
I need a dumb thermostat.
Yeah. Go to your screen, and where it says, like, the hold button.
Yeah.
If you just hit hold, and now you've told that thermostat that you don't want any programs running. You just want to be able to do it manually up and down. And that's exactly what it'll do.
JJ, I love your ideas. Thank you for them. I still want the little circular crank thing back.
Yeah, the programming with the new Nest, it's super cool that I can control it from my phone.
No.
It's super cool that I can turn the fan setting
on. Bring back
so
the
it's
dial.
Not running the AC, but still circulating air throughout the home from my phone. I can do that right now.
Love that thing. Let's
but go. Why does it set its own schedules? Like, I have to go in every couple of weeks and delete the schedules. Stop changing my temperature for me.
I think we just said hit hold. Hit hold, and it will keep it at whatever you want it.
Well, I do that. It still changes it.
Let's go to Kurt and Lenexa. Hi, Kurt.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. And Scott, we definitely miss you.
Thank you, Kurt.
My thing is this. I told Sam that, I keep mine between 70 and 72 or something like that. I know for a fact that there are women in the audience that they set theirs at different temperature, and then they walk in and say, oh, it's cold in here. And I just say, I get that. So you have to realize that on certain days like this, I mean, you're going to still hold a lot of heat, but then you walk in there and, you know, it might be fine. You may have to bump it up or dap it down a little bit. I remember the old attic fans that you had in your grandmother's house.
Oh, I love the attic fan, Kurt.
Thing on. And I mean, that would be a perfect area of your house.
But Kurt, wait, Kurt, you remember in August, the problem with the attic fan, they'd be like, we're just going to turn on the attic fan. Now we're just sucking and blowing 115 degree air throughout the house, right? I'm still laughing at the use a DIY ice bucket fan.
Great point.
It's 1400.
Mr. Encyclopedia himself, Dan Weinbaum.
Yeah.
These recommendations are because the grid is suffering. They're not saying it's the most efficient for 78 degrees because that's going to be the most comfortable for you.
That's
it's
why the Department of Energy is saying this.
Right. The power grid is being stretched as far as it possibly can. And to make matters worse, we're building data centers all over the country.
That's
just
what
to
we need.
Suck that energy up.
513-586-7798. April, you hang on the line. We'll get to you straight ahead on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.